Proverbs for the day, November the 4th. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. When we come across these things, we know we need God's help, right? I mean, of course we do. Sure we do. His help. But we don't put it all on God. We're not fatalistic. We're not Calvinistic. We're not Arminian. We're not humanist. We're right there where our moderation can be known to all men, that we do it and God helps. I'd like to say in verse 23 today, you keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Diligence, devotion, and duties. You keep your heart. I really hammer this, repeat it, emphasize, as the word is today, because I think it is one of the great temptations of the child of God in the generations that we live in the Western world in particular, to let someone else be, or believe that others should keep our heart, or make our heart supposed to be soft towards them. You take in marriage relationships, you take in parent and child, and child to the parent. You take in church relationships, the sheep to the shepherd. God says you keep your heart. He says it to every individual, you keep your heart. The only hope is that the individual keep their heart. And he says do it with all diligence. What's diligence? Diligence is one of those, ready? 24/7 type of words. When I grew up, they didn't say 24/7. They just said all the time. We had racehorses, thoroughbreds. Those things required attention 365 days a year and 366 days on leap year. And you fed them three times a day and you watered them about four or five times a day. And you cleaned their stall completely in the morning and picked out the mess in the afternoon. And it was round the clock. It was constant. We'd be out there at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night checking on them, watering, making sure they hadn't done something foolish or stupid in the meantime. You take sheep, real sheep shepherding, where, like we read about in the Bible and in the Middle East, in those places where they have to keep track of them and where they're not just running by sheer numbers. In Australia, they call instead of a herd or a flock, they call it a mob. And that sort of tells you something, doesn't it? You know, that's not Bible shepherding, so we have to get our examples from the book, from the Middle East. The idea is that they look over those sheep and stuff. But you as a human being, in order to be a sheep, he says, keep thy heart. Keep your heart. Diligence. Devotion. One of the reasons we make ourselves read the words of God and sing hymns in the morning, and listen to the book, and activate the new nature is because we've got to keep our heart. I've got to keep my heart. And look, it is so easy for your heart to wander. You say, well, it doesn't wander off and want to go be part of the world, or it doesn't want to wander off and... No, it might just want to wander off and love itself. Boy, what did Jesus say about you and me and ourselves? Told us to deny ourselves. Well, the world is telling us to love ourselves. The world is telling us that the problem with the whole world is when we don't love ourselves enough. Now, we're to have the right view of us as a being. But there's nothing in my old nature to love. There's everything in Jesus Christ to love, and my new nature will. And if I am to love my neighbors myself, then I have to have the right love through that new nature. Duties. I have to keep my heart with all diligence so I'll do my duties, the real duties, the Bible duties, the duties in my relationships and roles that I play in the Bible. It would be a blessing. Get you a piece of paper. Jot down the roles that the Bible describes. He describes Adam to God. He describes Adam and Eve together, husband and wife and children. He describes servants to masters. He describes the shepherd and the sheep and the sheep to the shepherd. Circle the ones that you are fulfilling at this time in your life, and you keep your heart in doing those duties. just today just might be one of those days for you. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You keep your mouth. You say, well, how can I keep my mouth? One of the first things you got to do is what you listen to. Now, fellas in primarily, and maybe ladies, but I know it's hard what you listen to. I grew up where the name of God was used a lot, but it was not used reverently. I mean, it was used irreverently. There were things that when I got saved, I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's amazing the opposite ends of the spectrum, the antithesis of what I heard used in the name of God. And so think about it. You keep your mouth, what you listen to, what you allow. Trim it up. Clean it up. Truthfully. And we're all this way. You probably couldn't be too clean. Oh, I'm not talking about trying to sound pious, okay? I'm not talking about pious. I'm talking about clean. Clean it up. And say, Lord, I want it to be clean. I was doing some teaching, just regular teaching, like instructing in a work environment one time. And after about 3 hours, they took a break. And during the break, this fellow come up to me and he said, what's the deal with you? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, there's something up with you. I said, why? He said, you haven't cussed one time in these 3 hours. You haven't, all your jokes have been as clean as a whistle. He said, what's the deal with you? What are you, some kind of preacher or something? I said, well, actually, I'm a Christian. He said, well, I knew that. He said, but, and you see, I didn't get up and act pious or none of that. A lot of times, man, it's the absence of it. You know what I tell them when you're doing something in your business or you're trying to present something in the right way? A lot of times, brethren, it's what you don't see that convinces you. Example, you go to sit down in a little restaurant or whatever, and they put a glass in front of you. You don't consciously go, there's no marks, there's no dirt, there's no nastiness on that glass. But your eyes take in that it's clean, and so it creates confidence that you might be able to keep from getting food poisoning while you eat there. If you had a suit on, and it was a dark blue suit, and you got up and spoke, people might not go, boy, that suit's really well cared for. But if you'd laid your suit on the bed and there was a fluffy old blanket there and it got lint all over it and you got up there and got white, bright white lint all over your suit coat, they would notice that. They would notice that. And that brings me to say in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. See, keep your mouth, what you listen to, what you allow, your willingness to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in a charitable way. And then you keep your eyes. You know, the world knows the eyes are windows. That's why they advertise. The world knows that if they can get it from just words to words and graphics, that they've got a chance at you. And that's important. Because you and I have got to remember that it's just a Bible teaching that you cannot put something before your eyes without it defiling you. You know, it's amazing today, and I realize there's a huge onslaught against the believer today. There's a huge onslaught against the believer. And the believer likes to see things and experience things, and the advent of video. Video is things you can see with your eyes. The advent of modern video has just become, and photography and stuff. I mean, there are so many people that on their phone, they've got a better camera than we ever had growing up. As kids, if you could afford to go out and buy a good camera. And so we have to understand that we need to keep our eyes. You keep your mouth, you keep your heart, you keep your eyes. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. And so it's important. It's real important to us to watch what we look at, to pay attention to it. Images today are everywhere, and I understand that. And there's sometimes that something will be put in front of you and you're going down this road or just whatever, but we have to learn to turn away from it. We have to learn to keep, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. There's times when it just takes a very straight, focused look. You fellows that have played sports, here's what you do know. If you can distract that fella just a little bit, you've got an edge. You've got an edge. if you can just distract him. I still remember there's a fellow who became a famous basketball player, and he's in the opposing team's field house playing. It's a big game. So there's, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30,000, whatever they can get in those places that are against him at the end of the game. He's got a couple free throws, and the people are screaming. They're standing. The people that he can see with his eyes behind the backboard, they're hollering and waving and trying to distract him. The referee bounces him the ball. He takes the ball and he lays it at his feet, and he takes his hands like this and gestures up like, come on, more, more. Try to stop me. Come on. He's taunting him, okay? And he picks up the ball and he puts in two free throws, bang, bang, and just drove a stake through their heart. And I've thought for many times how the Lord wants us to have that single eye. When he picked up that ball, he wasn't looking at those people. He wasn't thinking about those people. He wasn't focused on those people. He was determined to look at that rim and put that ball through. Now, that's just a simple illustration for you. I had a boss that said he could bend nails by looking at him. I said, you're crazy. We were in the framing business. And he walked up behind a brand new fellow, an apprentice, and he'd been driving nails through floor decking and doing a great, you could hear him, man. He'd hit it once to set it, and two licks it was in with his framing hammer. He walked up there and just looked over his shoulder. And sure enough, he bent three nails right in a row, and we walked away. And I said, man, that was cruel. He said, I told you I could bend nails by looking at him. We got to keep our focus. We've got to keep our focus. You keep your eyes. Focused vision. Look away from those images. Look away from the things that are distracting. Look away from the things that say, don't you want this kind of lifestyle? Don't you want that? Just look away. Turn the stupid thing off. Cancel the subscription. Whatever it takes today. You keep your heart. You keep your mouth. You keep your eyes. And you will keep your reward. Amen.